Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 417, the stanzas 1 and 2. Send forth, O Lord, of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation. And what follows, Psalter 417, the first two stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 2 Samuel 9. And afterwards from the canons of Dort, the first head of doctrine, Article 16. 2 Samuel 9. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched them out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come to David, unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. And thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do." "As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. From the canons of Dort, the first head of doctrine of divine predestination, Article 16. Those who do not yet experience a lively faith in Christ and an assured confidence of soul, peace of conscience, an earnest endeavor after filial obedience, and glorying in God through Christ, efficaciously wrought in them, and do nevertheless persist in the use of the means which God hath appointed for working these graces in us, ought not to be alarmed at the mention of reprobation, and nor to rank themselves among the reprobate, but diligently to persevere in the use of means, and with ardent desires devoutly and humbly to wait for a season of richer grace. Much less cause have they to be terrified by the doctrine of reprobation, who, though they seriously desire to be turned to God, to please Him only, and to be delivered from the body of death, cannot yet reach that measure of holiness and faith to which they aspire, since a merciful God is promised that He will not quench the smoking flax, nor break the bruised reed. But this doctrine is justly terrible to those who, regardless of God and of the Savior Jesus Christ, has wholly given themselves up to the cares of the world and the pleasures of the flesh, so long as they are not seriously converted to God. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of all the earth, Thou who hast granted unto us and our children in this day many a blessing, Thou who hast spared all our lives, and were in this evening hour, then Thou hast granted an opportunity to come up to Thy house, and with her unclean lips, then we attempt to draw nigh unto Thee. Thou art an everywhere present God. Wilt Thou bind that truth more and more upon our hearts? But Thou wast promised in Thy holy word, Thy special presence in Thy house, where two or three are gathered in My name, there I am in the midst of them, Lord. May that special blessing and that special presence, may it be experienced by us and our children. Wilt Thou grant humble and broken hearts, under all the blessings which Thou showers so richly upon us and our children. But, Lord, then we have already heard a serious admonition for those that are wholly taken up with the things of the world and the pleasures of the flesh. May it please Thee in this evening hour to blow with Thy Spirit. Thou causest the wind to blow in the realm of nature, and the bride of old has prayed, Come Thou north wind, and blow Thou south upon My garden, that the spices may flow forth. Let My beloved come into the garden and eat the fruits thereof, Lord. Thou knowest how it is in each heart in a week of preparation. Already half the week has run its course, and for many it can be, can even be for most, can be in the life of thy children, that in the busyness of life, that we have to confess, that there has not been true and serious examination, that there has not been preparation, Lord. Wilt thou then grant in thy house in this evening hour a little rest, and that the cares of the time, that they may be left outside of thy house, in a week of preparation, then it is so necessary for both the north wind, but also the south wind to blow. Lord, remember the congregation. Do remember the unconverted. May it be used a week of preparation. Shoot an arrow into their heart, that they may be given to see and live in how poor and wretched they are, unconverted, excluded, standing outside. Wilt thou do a great work? We have heard out of the writing of our forefathers that they have spoken of a richer time, Lord. May it please thee in the latter days of the earth to give that richer time amongst us and our children, and in such a rich time that shall become manifest when boys and girls, young people, middle-aged and older ones, when they are converted, when they are stopped, when they are turned, when they become poor sinners and are given to cry unto thee, the living God, where thou shalt become the living God for them. And then they shall learn that we cannot exist before a holy and a righteous God, Lord, when there is building upon sandy foundations. Wilt thou uncover it? Wilt thou remember thy people? Thou knowest where they are encamped. We have heard also of those bruised reeds, those smoking flaxes, which shall never be quenched. Many a times they have so many fears and so many riddles. Lord, wilt thou remember thy true people? Also in a week of preparation, wilt thou grant of self, also empty and so void, may they be administered out of thy fullness. Wilt thou work a true need, a true desire, a true examination, expectation, the exercise of faith, to be given as a poor sinner. That is what thy people learn more and more. A poor and needy people, a dependent people, so dependent upon the working, the immediate working of thy Holy Spirit. And then concerning the Holy Sacrament, do this in remembrance of me, Lord. Wilt thou then grant light? Wilt thou grant instruction? Wilt thou grant faith? Be a surprising God. That on the coming Lord's Day, that thy house may be a Bethel indeed. But what a blessing it is when in the life of thy true people, they may be given to taste of those special things. Also during the week with a burning heart and with an eye of faith to be given to look upon him who was fairer than the children of men, and that grace is poured upon his lips. May they be given to experience that thou speaketh unto them, that thou granteth further instructions. Lord, without thee we can do nothing, but we also read in thy word concerning thy church Oh, it is all given good that they can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengtheneth them. Lord, remember thy church all over the earth, the established churches, the persecuted church, the country at war, the church in that country, the Jewish people, and all mission work. Remember our poor nation that sinks away under thy judgments. Lord, do bless thy holy word amongst us in the church, in the family circles, and also in our Christian school, where also in this day thy word has been opened, a calling upon thy holy name. God, all awaits thy blessing. May it be carried upon the wings of prayer. Lord, remember all the temporal needs. We commend unto thee all the mourning ones, the elderly ones, the sick and afflicted ones, all under the physician's care. May the callings be sanctified, the sick relatives, the circumstances are known unto thee. Wilt thou remember the family circles? And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee, wilt thou grant a good, a special hour in thy house? Oh, do open thy holy word, that out of the treasures thereof, new and old things may be brought forth to that end. Anoint us with fresh oil from above. Oh, that with joy and liberty and freedom we may be given to declare the wonderful things of the Lord. How that poor and hell-worthy sinners, how they may be brought to that precious Savior, thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, where his blood cleanses from all sin. Lord, wilt thou remember all the listeners, take away everything that could be a hindrance, have nothing to plead upon. We are but a company of poor sinners. But wilt thou remember us in thy mercy, work from generation to generation, and may the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy triune name. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 110, the three stanzas. Thy tender mercies, O my God, Lord, withhold not, I implore, but let thy kindness and thy truth preserve me evermore. And what follows, Psalter 110, the three stanzas. Thank you. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for the portion of Scripture, 2 Samuel 9, the first 8 verses, and we shall read the verses 6, 7, and 8. And now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Our text words speak of David showing kindness to Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake, with four thoughts in the first place: the miserable condition of Mephibosheth. Secondly, the commanded fetching of Mephibosheth. Thirdly, the rich revelation to Mephibosheth. And fourthly, the deep humility of Mephibosheth. David showing kindness to Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake. The miserable condition, the commanded fetching, the rich revelation, and the deep humility. Thus first, the miserable condition of Mephibosheth. Beloved congregation, we read in Romans 15, verse 4, For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, instruction, and reproof. Then we have many histories that are recorded in the Scriptures. And then it is necessary in the first place to read and to consider them as histories, that also a special instruction. But it is very clear in the Scriptures, in the Old Testament, it all pointed to the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come in the fullness of times. Then we have many types of Christ. In the Old Testament, we only have to mention Joseph, such a clear and such a beautiful type, that Zephaniah Peninnah, he was governor over all the land with those large storehouses. May it be experienced in a week of preparation that those storehouses are so full, and that it may be granted a need and a going to those storehouses with those open sacks. Then we also have many types of the true church of the living God. When we consider the brothers, when they have come to Joseph, when they have become guilty brothers, when we consider the children of Israel, delivered out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, through the wilderness, entering the promised land, when we have the children of Israel in captivity, all types, it points also to the New Testament. When the Lord Jesus Christ would come, also in the New Testament, then we have many histories. We have many healings of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a beautiful picture how that needy spiritual sick sinners, how they may come with their incurable diseases and with their sin to the Lord Jesus Christ to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in this evening hour, then this chapter, then we read four times of the table. We read of the king's table. We read of partakers of that table. No, in our chapter, it is not a sacrament. It is an ordinary table, although it is the table of King David. And then in this chapter, then we read of special leadings. Oh, if we went to visit that Mephibosheth in Jerusalem at the king's table and we would say, Mephibosheth, oh, tell us now, how have you come to the king's table? Ah, then he could tell of those leadings, those wonderful works. Oh, that humility, that instruction, that invitation. Then he could tell us what he would receive at that table. And now we read in this chapter, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul? Then we must not understand. Oh, it is a faint type, but what a beautiful picture we have of the leadings of the church. And then in this chapter, it goes for Jonathan's sake. Oh, concerning the church, it is only for Christ's sake that there is a church that has been gathered, a church that may be invited to the holy table of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we hope to hear it later. Then we must not think, boys and girls, when a David is asked, is there any yet of the house of Saul, that David did not have a knowledge of Mephibosheth. But David had a desire that that name of Mephibosheth would be remembered and that it would be made known by renewal. Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant who has declared that there was one in Lodabar. And now Mephibosheth, that is now a picture of a sinner that is fallen, that is dwelling so far from the kingly palace, from Jerusalem. Then in the first place, when we think of Mephibosheth, then there were two in the Bible. There was also an uncle, another one of the house of Saul. And we read of that other Mephibosheth, that later he was hung. Oh, then we see in our history that the Lord, that there was a difference where there was no difference, because that Mephibosheth in Lodabar, he was not seeking the Lord in the second place. That name Mephibosheth, that has a special meaning. That means a dispeller of shame. Thus that name Mephibosheth, that has shame in it. Oh, undoubtedly, The desire of Jonathan, that with his little son when he was born, that it would truly be manifest, a dispeller of shame, that he would strive against sin, a desire to live according to the law of God. But now Mephibosheth, Job 14 verse 4, who can bring a clean out of an unclean? But when the Lord begins to work by his grace, a little beginning, a dispeller of shame, then there shall be a hating and a fleeing of sin, that godly sorrow, and a following hard after the Lord. Mephibosheth, he was of a royal race. He was a grandson of King Saul, who was the first king over the people of Israel. But Saul, the second commandment, visited the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me. King Saul has not been obedient. Oh, there are wonderful things. Is Saul not among the prophets before his calling? What wonderful providential experiences he has experienced according to the prophecy of Saul, of Samuel. Then he has experienced wonderful things, and yet he has disobeyed. Samuel has said in 1 Samuel 15 verse 22, to obey is better than sacrifice. Oh, then an evil spirit has come upon him. Ah, there is a people upon the earth that at times is exercised with a soul, can be in a week of examination, because it is so necessary to examine ourselves very closely. A soul who was prophesied and his end was terrible. And now Saul has even persecuted David, the anointed of the Lord. Thus a Mephibosheth of a royal race. But we read in 2 Samuel 4 verse 4, when the tidings of the death of Saul and Jonathan has come, that there was a nurse that has taken that little Mephibosheth. Josephus said she has carried him on her shoulders, stumbled and fell. That little Mephibosheth, 5 years old, boys and girls, he has fallen, became lame on both his legs. And in that time, they did not have hospitals like today. Maybe today, surgery could have been healed. But what that was for that little Mephibosheth, as a little boy, he has run, he has played, and now he has become lame on both his feet. Watched other children play and run, but little Mephibosheth could not. Not only boys and girls, for all of us, find so much normal, we take it for granted. What a privilege and what a blessing it is when we may go in and out, perform our labors, perhaps with no pain at all. Little Mephibosheth, he has fallen. He has become lame. What a type. We have in our chapter of a fallen sinner. We have come from a royal race. The Lord has created Adam and Eve in his image. And at the end of the sixth day, I read in Genesis 1 verse 31, that the Lord sought, and it was very good. The jewel of creation given to create their creator and benefactor. But we have fallen through our covenant head Adam. Oh, Mephibosheth, he has fallen in a natural way, but we have fallen spiritually, and we have become so lame concerning our desires, lame concerning our obedience, lame concerning our submission, lame concerning our prayers, oh, lame concerning our thanksgiving, lame concerning our memory when it concerns the things of the Lord, so lame, impossible to return unto the Lord dead in sins and trespasses. Thus, what a clear picture that we have of fallen mankind, fallen sinners, lame as Mephibosheth. And what else? Dwelling in Lodabar. And that word Lodabar, that means without pasture. That means a barren place. It was on the east side of Jordan near Mahanaim, about 100 kilometers from Jerusalem. And now Mephibosheth of that royal race of Saul, which was at enmity, had been in such an enmity with the house of David. Oh, for a David, first king of Hebron, when the other 10 tribes for 7.5 years have still been under dominion of the kingdom of Saul. And now Mephibosheth, then it is clear that he has dwelt in that faraway Lodabar. And now there are 2 matters. In the first place, unable, because he was lame. And in the second place, unwilling. Then we get the impression that Mephibosheth still perhaps had a thought that the kingdom of Saul could be restored, especially in those 7.5 years also, when the fourth son of Saul has become king over the 10 tribes. Thus, what a picture of fallen mankind. In the first place, unable, and in the second place, not willing. Christ has said unto the people in Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest those that are sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered thee as a hen or chickens under her wings. And oh, it was also true, they would not, but then Christ has, they could not, but then Christ has said, ye would not. Mephibosheth cannot be different, that he has heard of David, that he was a merciful king. Because we read of Abner, a cousin of Saul, that he was the commander of the army of Saul. And after Saul and Jonathan were slain, then Abner has retained that position under Isbosheth. But then because there has come a disagreement between Isbosheth and Abner, then Abner has went over to David, and David has wholeheartedly accepted that commander of the army that has persecuted and resisted the king at Hebron. Thus in Mephibosheth, he has heard that David, oh, he was a merciful king, that even for enemies, when they have come, when they have asked for mercy, then David was ready to forgive. Further, it seems that Mephibosheth was also religious, because we read in this chapter he had a son whom he called Micah, And that means who was like unto God, thus religious, but still a desire that the kingdom of Saul would be restored. What a picture of fallen mankind, have we learned at congregation? Have we learned it that we are a Mephibosheth? Shame. And Lodabar, in that barren place, still trying to find our pleasures in the world. Oh, have you heard it, what our fathers have written? Oh, they have written of precious things for us and our children to await and to pray for a richer time when the Spirit may be poured out richly. Ah, that many Mephibosheth dwelling so far from that heavenly Jerusalem, seeking their own things in Lodabar, not able and not willing that they may be wrought upon, and according to Psalm 110, be made a willing people in the day of his power. And oh, that is only possible for Jonathan's sake. And that is what the Spirit teaches his people. That is what the table of the covenant testifies of, that it is all for Jonathan's sake. Oh, what he has done to purchase and to gather his church. But now a Mephibosheth, it is the work of the Spirit to teach them to find them. Because do we not read in Matthew 9 verse 12, those that are whole need not the physician, but those that are sick. Thus what a picture of natural man, oh, dwelling in that faraway Lodabar. Oh, it cannot be different. That Mephibosheth did not always live so easy. Because in Bible times, then oftentimes, when another king came on the throne, another family, then that former family would be exterminated. Think of Abimelech, of Gideon, slew 70 brothers. We think of the different kingdoms in the 10 tribes of Israel. Then different times another family was completely exterminated. Think of that wicked Athaliah that is tried. Oh, she was nearly successful, but not all the way it could not be, because the Lord Jesus Christ, that greater Jonathan, he must be born in the fullness of time. And it is only for Jonathan's sake that those Mephibosheth, those crippled Mephibosheth, that they may be sought out and that they may be brought to Jerusalem, that they may be instructed and that they may have a place at the king's table. Our second thought, the commanded fetching of Mephibosheth. Then it is clear that there was no reason in Mephibosheth that he would have received mercy. In our text, Mephibosheth is no longer a little boy. He was 5 years old when he has fallen, become lame. Then David, 7.5 years, over the two tribes, king in Hebron, as that means Mephibosheth, was 12.5 years. When David became king over all Israel, then the tribes, those 10 tribes, they have also come to David, crowned him as king. But Mephibosheth was not present. And then we read in this chapter that he was married, had a son. Thus undoubtedly the general thought is that Mephibosheth, 20 to 21 years. And he has remained in Lodabar. Has not come to Jerusalem. And the children shall say, but he was lame to walk 100 kilometers when you cannot walk. That's very difficult. On the other hand, when the Lord works by his Spirit and binds the reality of life upon our hearts, the need for our soul to be saved. Oh, what shall such a sinner then not do? Put everything aside. Oh, then he would begin to crawl. Because such a sinner needs mercy. 20 years still in Lodabar. There are those in our midst 20 years old. How is it with those? 21, a little younger, a little older. Are we still living in Lodabar? As an enemy of the king, still hoping to find our pleasures. And as we read, wholly taken up with the cares of the world, they are manifold. Cost a lot for our families. But wholly taken up with the cares of the world and the pleasures of the flesh. Thus, absolutely no reason in Mephibosheth. Fallen, remaining in Lodabar, undoubtedly, because we have heard that Ziba has said that he dwelt, Makar, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. And we read later in this book in 2 Samuel 17, when David the king has fled from Jerusalem and came to Mahanaim on the east side of Jordan, that there were three rich people, Shobai, Bezaleel, and also Magor, that they have come out with beds, with wheat, with corn, with honey. They have provided liberally for King David and those that have fled from Absalom. Thus surely, then, if Mephibosheth now had a desire, oh, a vehement desire, with an impression of his need, that he needed to be reconciled with David, that he needed mercy, oh, then undoubtedly there would have been means that he would have taken as a lame Mephibosheth, that he could have come in the presence of King David and begged for mercy. But we read none of those things. Mephibosheth has stayed in that faraway Lodabar, but now in the palace of King David. Ah, then there was spoken of Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan. Oh, we read, and that also was something to say. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul? Did not say of the house of Jonathan, the father of Mephibosheth, but the house of Saul that has persecuted him for many years, oh, nigh unto death, that has made his life so difficult. Thus then we also have in our history, we have much instruction, because we read in Matthew 5, verse 44, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Then David, did not take revenge upon the house of Saul. Thus much connection, what we have heard Sunday evening, the fifth commandment, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now then, David is king with authority in the land. Then he did not take revenge. Then he did not command his soldiers, search out the land. And if there are still those enemies after some years, so many years, that have refused to come to Jerusalem and to ask for pardoning and forgiveness, then there must be no mercy shown. They must all be put to death. No. Then we see King David. Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And in verse 3, that I may show the kindness of God unto him. This kindness and mercy. Then the question could be asked concerning King David. Why did David not immediately, because you know it, boys and girls, David and Jonathan, they have made a covenant. We read of that covenant in 1 Samuel 18, verse 4, when David was persecuted, Jonathan was a mediator. And then we even read that Jonathan stripped himself of his robe. Oh, what a beautiful type that Jonathan. Oh, the types are not perfect, but when we consider a Jonathan, that name means a gift of Jehovah. Oh, is that not a perfect type of the greater Jonathan? John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, then the greater Jonathan, when he was delighting in the presence of his father, then as it were to say it reverently, then in the fullness of time, then he has stripped himself of his glory, then he was willing to assume our human nature, to be born as a little child in the stable and laid as in the manger. Then further, that covenant has been confirmed in 1 Samuel 20, the verses 14 through 17. There we also read that word kindness, and that it has been confirmed by an oath. Thus David and Jonathan, they have made a covenant. When David was persecuted, oh, Jonathan has encouraged David. And now concerning that covenant cannot be different, because that covenant was, oh, Jonathan, how he was willing to humble himself, because he was the son of Saul. Then he would be the follower of Saul, would become king. And willing to humble himself, that David, that he would become the next king in Israel. And then those two have made a covenant, a promise, that they would stand side by side, that Jonathan, in the midst of the enmity of his father, that he would stand by Jonathan and do his utmost to protect him. And then in that covenant was included that David, when he would become king, that he would show mercy unto the seed of Jonathan. It's not all written in the scriptures, but it cannot be different. Oh, that a Jonathan has said, David, maybe has brought him along. Here's my little boy, Mephibosheth. Oh, David, when you shall become king, shall you now promise, because it cannot be different congregation, when they have made that covenant, that it would be a particular covenant, and that it would respect particular persons. Oh, that little son of Jonathan, of course, he was not lame yet, but then it cannot be different than Jonathan have said. Oh, David, my little son, here he is called Mephibosheth, the speller of shame. When thou may come on the throne, when the enemies are defeated, how wilt thou then promise that thou shalt show mercy to my son? And now the question can be, why did David wait so long, many years, before he is asked, is there any yet left of the house of Saul? John Calvin, quite hard on David, puts much blame that it was very wrong of David to not fulfill that promise to wait for so many years. It's true. 2 Samuel 8, we read, 2 Samuel 6, first, brought up the ark to Jerusalem, a type of the presence of the Lord, all pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 2 Samuel 8, we read of the battles that the Lord has fought with the enemies. Thus David has waited for a time of peace. We should leave it lie. How is it with our vows and with our oaths? Fathers, mothers, baptism, marriage, office bearers. Calvin has said with David, it was better late than never. You hear your name, oaths, not remembered, forgotten, not taken so seriously. Nevertheless, in our chapter, for Jonathan's sake, the oath, the reason that Mephibosheth would be fetched out of Lodabar. What a beautiful type. Oh, Mephibosheth was because of that oath that he would be fetched. The council of peace that never began eternity, where the Father has chosen a church unto himself out of the whole human race, particular names written in the book of the Lamb, in the book of life. Father has declared, how shall I place them among the children? Then a triune God has counseled together how there would be a way for those Mephibosheths from that kingly, that royal race, from our first parents, Adam and Eve, and that have fallen so deeply, unable, unwilling, how shall I place them among the children? How is it now possible that they may be restored with the glorification of all the Lord's attributes? And then the greater Jonathan, Psalm 40, the verses 7 and 8, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is written in my heart. Because of that covenant, then in the time, perhaps the type points to the sovereignty of the Lord at his time and his way. Through the Prince of Peace, as I read in Isaiah 9, verse 6, that he has merited that peace. And to that end, he gathers a church. Is there yet any of the house of Saul? Oh, was I but the servant? He has declared it. And as Ziba has said, but king, lame on his feet. Oh, maybe Ziba thought, if the king now hears that Mephibosheth is lame on his feet, then maybe the king shall have mercy. But that lameness did not take away his, that he was living in Lodabar. And to that end, the command was given that there must be sent by orders of the king, undoubtedly a wagon or chariot that would be sent a special address for a special man, that he would be fetched and brought to Jerusalem. Has that ever taken place, congregation? That wonder of the drawing love of the Lord, the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. Ah, Mephibosheth, when he dwelt in that Lodabar, did not know what was transpiring in the palace, hidden for him. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the revealed things to us and our children, that we may remember to do them. And now, our third thought, the rich revelation to Mephibosheth. Let us first sing Psalter 389. Let us only sing the first stanza. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry. And in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply in judgment. Do not cause thy servant to be tried before thy holy laws. No man is justified. Psalter 389, only the first stanza. David showing kindness to Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake. The miserable condition, the commanded fetching, and now the rich revelation to Mephibosheth. Then it cannot be different congregation that Mephibosheth did not live so easy in Lodabar. That he was afraid that King David would send his wagon, his chariot with servants, and that they would come to his house. He could not escape, and that he would be brought to Jerusalem. My unconverted fellow travelers, how do you live in Lodabar? Do you also have thoughts about the wagon of death that shall usher you into eternity? A just and a righteous God, whom we have offended so grievously, wearied his patience, abused his gifts, not using the means as diligently as we ought, wholly taken up with the cares of the world and the pleasures of this world. Are there times that you are filled with fear, that death, as boys and girls, young people, we have experienced, we do not have to be old to die? The young are also taken away, and then, if we have not been brought by grace to Jerusalem, abounding be wonderment, and for Jonathan's sake, the only name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, does it bring us on our knees? Oh, are there times that we are given to cry and say, "Ach, Lord, living in Lodabar, may be so little impression of those realities, but may it now please thee, oh, to send thy chariot of mercy, that I may be wrought upon by irresistible grace." We do not read that David has sent a servant with a pair of crutches for Mephibosheth. That's the Arminian. No. But he has sent those servants, the wagon, a chariot, to a particular place for a particular person at a particular time, that Mephibosheth, that he may be brought to the palace of David for Jonathan's sake. When we consider our types, then we may consider David as a type of the Father and Jonathan as a clear type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The chariot. What that must have been for Mephibosheth when he saw that royal chariot, not written, but undoubtedly was with kingly splendor, so let us call the chariot, was servants. and they have come where Mephibosheth was dwelling, to seize him, carry him, place him in that chariot, and take him to Jerusalem, to King David. That is now necessary for us and our children. We read in the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, the verses 9 through 11, that Solomon has made himself a chariot of the cedars of Lebanon, the floor of gold, the pillars of silver, the top of purple, was paved with love, and then with the command to the daughters of Jerusalem to behold King Solomon. And now congregation, that chariot, that is the chariot of the gospel, that rides through the midst of the congregation when the word of God may be expounded. And there is still room in that chariot. What do we do with that chariot? Do we pay attention to it? Or maybe as in that parable of Luke 14, a great supper. There were some that have bought 5 oxen, others a piece of ground, and another one has married a wife. Oh, you would think that that newly married couple, they would have immediately come to that supper, but they all had their excuses. That's still our picture, young and old. The Lord still sends that chariot, and there is room. And no one that has come to that chariot with their needs and with their sins has ever been turned away. When we think of that picture of the chariot, if we were now living in Ukraine, where the enemy was approaching, and that he put all to death, that we needed a way to escape, and if such a chariot would now come through our midst, and everyone that had a desire to flee could come in that chariot, oh, how eager we would be. Then I think, boys and girls, then we would even grab onto that chariot, step on the running board or on the bumper, as long as we could be with that chariot. Oh, the chariot of the gospel. But now for Mephibosheth, and concerning that way to Jerusalem, then we shall speak of two matters. In the moment of regeneration, oh, then by the chariot of grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit, when our understanding is enlightened and our heart opened, when God becomes real, when our sin becomes real, because for Mephibosheth, oh, it is true, it is the ordinary way that we are first exercised with our actual sins, but now Mephibosheth, then we find both in the first place, his original sins of a royal race, but he has fallen, he has departed from the ways of the Lord, but now also his actual sins, because he has continued to live in Lodabar, has never come to Jerusalem. Oh, his sins have found him out,
And yet when the Lord calls by his grace, then he sheds that love abroad in the heart, and then they learn to love the Lord in all his attributes. Oh, then they learn that distance between Lodabar and Jerusalem. Ah, then they do their best. That they may satisfy, that they may obey David, that they may be received. Oh, how busy they come on account of that love shed abroad in their heart. Then they have a desire that they may bow. They can never bow deep enough, but that they may be restored into that favor. Oh, to receive those tokens. But now concerning that chariot, concerning Mephibosheth, it is only a type how it was in the heart of Mephibosheth. We leave it lie. But the general thought is, most of our old fathers, they have spoken and thought charitably of those in the scripture, where we clearly read of the leadings of the Lord, how he leads his people. But there's also that chariot, the further leadings, that people is brought to the courthouse before the judge. And that fills that people with so much fear. Blessed that people that may learn it, as they read in Matthew, he that shall lose his life, he shall gain it. But for Mephibosheth, his sins have found him out. He was placed in that chariot 100 kilometers to Jerusalem, to the palace of the king. Ah, then it was the calling of those servants. Cannot be different for Mephibosheth. Was a fearful thing. The Lord works. And sin becomes sin. Shall experience that godly sorrow. Blessed are they that mourn. We become a poor and needy people. Was the calling of those servants. Oh, to speak to Mephibosheth. The trembling Mephibosheth. To speak that David was just, righteous, but also merciful for Jonathan's sake was the only hope for Mephibosheth. And now it is very clear that on that journey that Mephibosheth was completely won over for King David. That is very evident in our text words. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, still the son of Saul, was come to David. What did Mephibosheth then do? What did he say? Did he have many excuses? Did he say, King, I know that my father has persecuted you, but I was a little boy, and I had no part of it. Does King, no guilt. And King, if you have the question why I have not come to your palace, look at my lame feet. Read nothing of those things. Mephibosheth has become silent. Romans 3 verse 19, that every mouth may be stopped and become guilty before God. Where we need to come.
Spirit makes room for that greater Jonathan. Read in Luke 19, verse 10. The Son of Man has come to save and to seek those that are lost. Thus Mephibosheth worked out and talked out. The Lord is free. Read in Lamentations 4, verse 9. Better are those that die by the sword than by famine. The Lord is free. But all of God's people, that is the work of the Spirit. And that separates the true from the nominal. The work of the Spirit, that we learn that we are lost, impossible from our sight, and yet a holy necessity, because with Mephibosheth, it is clearly declared that he was won over for King David, and to that end, we read, and he fell on his face and did reverence for Mephibosheth. Be wonderment, because a silent Mephibosheth. And then David spoke. Not so much. What would David say? What he said, "Oh, thou wicked Mephibosheth, the son of a grandfather that has persecuted me to death. I have been so tried and so afflicted. And now when you have become older, to remain in Lodabar, never to come to Jerusalem to pay homage. Then David say to those servants, servants, take that Mephibosheth and behead him. No, for Jonathan's sake. And then David said, Mephibosheth, with so much love, with so much compassion, all for the child of God. What a privilege, what a blessing. One day may hear their name mentioned. It's not mean exactly their name, but one day may listen, and God's word may be explained. Necessary that we become a Mephibosheth. Oh, maybe a few souls say, Lord, that is not my picture. But may now experience what that Mephibosheth has experienced. Ah, that people, they know of times that they cannot bow low enough under the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with a confession of their sins. Oh, it cannot be different than with the Mephibosheth, that the tears have flowed freely when he has bowed, when he has fallen on his face, declaring, David, here I am, do what is right in thine own eyes. But now for Jonathan's sake, and then David may say, Mephibosheth. We must close a few more thoughts. And he answered, behold, thy servant. A confession, desire, and pleading. Thy servant, thy handmaiden. Read at different times in the Bible. That is the desire of the true people of God. To be a servant, hear his voice, obey, follow, be instructed, be cared for, protected, and provided for. That becomes evident in our life. We shall not live in the world. We can fall, can be tempted, can fall deeply. But all those servants with a love in their heart, when David, we are given to see that there is a bowing under David, also under his justice, that he is given to fall on the side of David. But that word Mephibosheth, that is given freedom to speak unto David, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. There's the foundation. And that is now necessary. Must close. But that is now necessary concerning the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. We have come to a saving knowledge experientially learned. We cannot save ourselves. Lost. Impossible. The burden of sin upon our back. A justifying of the Lord. A loving of all his attributes. Also his justice. All for a Mephibosheth. He has experienced what an Esther has experienced. I will go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. But when Mephibosheth has heard his name, Mephibosheth, then that golden scepter was stretched out. And then a David was given to declare how he could stretch out that golden scepter for a guilty Mephibosheth. And that is for Jonathan's sake. And now it is the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of his true, in the lives of his true people, to make room for the greater Jonathan, that he may be revealed that has taken place in our text words. And then Mephibosheth has heard, it was for Jonathan's sake, that he may receive mercy, that he may lie at the feet of King David. Thus for Jonathan's sake, it is necessary that mediator who is fairer than the children of men, grace is poured out upon his lips, that Mephibosheth has experienced. He is white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000s, that he becomes so necessary, so suitable, and so precious. We read in 1 Peter 2:7, unto you therefore believe, he is precious. And now for Jonathan's sake, with that declaration of for Jonathan's sake, then David was given to declare, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. We must close. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Humility and bewilderment. For a temporal believer, we can understand it all. Can be some emotion, feelings, conclusions, contemplation. But then we can speak of it so coldly. And then we do not come on that place where Mephibosheth has come. But in the true work, there shall be those times. Such a wonder. And that wonder many times only become greater. Who maketh thee to differ? By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. What am I? What is thy servant?
Oh, do you hear it? David, at thy feet, a dead dog, but still thy servant, for Jonathan's sake, thou shalt eat at the king's table. What clear leadings a Mephibosheth found. Not saying that everyone knows the time, the moment, but the experience found in Lodabar. When we are found out in the church, then we also experience Lodabar. All exploded, unconverted, but drawn and brought, blessed that people. That is a Mephibosheth brought before us, David also was judge. But then, oh, the revelation, the greater Jonathan, that blessed Lord Jesus Christ has removed his robe, paid the price, and for that people, for that knowledge, eat at my table, do this in remembrance of me. Amen. Our Lord, we have heard of precious things. Wilt thou grant meditations? May we be given to examine all of our hearts. Our Lord, thou knowest who are thine. Then on the coming Lord's Day, wilt thou bring to the table who have received that divine right, and that all for Jonathan's sake. Wilt thou lead thy people further? Ah, bring them. It was a long journey from Lodabar to Jerusalem, but to come to the place of Mephibosheth, and he has received a personal invitation to eat at the king's table. Lord, fill with a holy jealousy. Remember the whole congregation. Remember in the furtherance of this week. And then we commend unto thee a young couple who in 2 days hope to be united in holy matrimony, to begin life's journey together as husband and wife. Ah, may they be given to beg of thee for thy special presence and thy special special blessing. Wilt thou help thy servant to that end? Wilt thou now bring us safely to our homes? Wilt thou keep us under thy kind care and protection? Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 235. And let us only sing the second stanza. Comfort thy servant now, while at thy throne I bow, for thou art love. Thy pardoning grace is free. Sinners who call on thee, thy tender mercy see, O God above. Psalter 235, only the second stanza.
I receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.